It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. The Consul General of Israel to the Mid-Atlantic region, Yaron Seidman, is in Pittsburgh to provide a briefing on the tenuous state of affairs in Israel. He spoke last night at the Jewish Community Center in Squirrel Hill and joins us now in studio. Yaron Seidman, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you, Paul. It's a pleasure to be here.
There has been mounting international concerns about the most recent violence between Israelis and Palestinians, despite a plan brokered earlier this week by Secretary of State John Kerry to bring quiet to the region, which has experienced weeks of tit-for-tat killings. What concerns are being expressed to you by members of the Pittsburgh community about the situation there, and how do you respond to them?
Well, everyone's concerned about innocent Israelis being stabbed to death, run over to by raging cars driven by Palestinians, and by this five-week spate of Palestinian terrorism that we're experiencing. Hitherto, 10 Israelis have been killed, numerous wounded, orphans, widows left in the wake of this a wave of terrorism. And it's particularly worrying because you're seeing 13-year-old Palestinian kids waking up in the morning, picking up knives and stabbing Jewish children they've never met before. It makes you wonder, what happened? How did this situation come about?
There have been tensions over things like who can pray where on Jerusalem's Temple Mount. And in the past month, this has spurred the Palestinians to rock throwing. There have been the random stabbings and fire bombings. Israeli authorities have certainly responded. They have been shooting culprits, arresting suspected Hamas members, tightening restrictions on the Palestinian movement, on movement by Palestinians. What do you think can and should be done then to ease the tensions?
Well, first of all, one has to identify the source of the tensions. And the source of the tensions is not the situation on Temple Mount. Israel is committed to maintaining the status quo on Temple Mount. And that status quo, by the way, is that only Muslims are allowed to pray on the site in their holy Al-Aqsa Mosque. And Christians and Jews are allowed to only visit, not pray. Last year, 3.5 million Muslims prayed on the site, 200,000 Christians visited, and 12,000 Jews visited. And those figures have been adhered to, and that principle has been kept by Israel. And so there's no basis to the lie that there's any change in the status quo in Temple Mount. However, it is that lie that has sparked this recent wave of violence. But it's not just that. It's a generation-old culture of hatred and animosity towards Israel and Jews that's being perpetrated deliberately by the Palestinian leadership that has poisoned the minds of the Palestinian society. And that really is the a root cause of the violence we're seeing today, not the situation on Temple Mount, not settlements, not borders, not any of that stuff. A culture of hatred and violence aimed against Israel.
So the situation exists. How do you calm that down? How do you get to the point where, because quite frankly, the Israelis are concerned. They want this to end. The United States has gotten involved. As I mentioned, John Kerry's been there trying to get some sort of, create some sort of, if not an agreement to end the violence, just something to allow perhaps cooler heads to prevail. So what would you suggest? What do you think is a good idea here?
Well, there's short-term and long-term. Short-term, we do have to calm down the current wave of Palestinian terrorism. And Secretary Kerry has met with both Prime Minister Netanyahu and with the Jordanian king who is has a significant role as custodian of the Muslim sites, Muslim holy sites on the temple, on the Temple Mount. And several measures have been agreed upon just over this past weekend, tangible measures to illustrate the commitment to maintaining the status quo in that 1 mile square area, but that is such a volatile area. So we're in the process of implementing those measures. They include placing surveillance cameras, a statement by the Israeli Prime Minister reiterating our commitment to continue maintaining the status quo, and so a few other measures. Hopefully that'll calm down the situation in the short term. In the long term, one has to address the root cause of terrorism against Israel, and that is a virulent incitement against Jews in Israel. It's manifested in kindergarten summer camps where Palestinian five-year-olds are handed rifles and trained to shoot Israelis. It's manifested in mass murderers being glorified by Palestinian leaders, public squares named after them, and people encouraged to follow in their footsteps. It's manifested in the official Palestinian curriculum, in textbooks, in media, everywhere you look. And that has to stop in order for violence to eventually subside and for peace to stand a chance.
Earlier this week marked the 20th anniversary of the assassination of Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin. There were demonstrations to commemorate Mr. Rabin and to protest against government policies. It's felt lessen the chances of reaching some kind of agreement with the Palestinians. What do you think the response should be to these protesters?
Well, I think Rabin, in his second term as prime minister, really encapsulated the challenge that we're facing today and that we've been facing for so long in Israel. When he committed to, and I pretty much quote his words, fight terrorism as if there is no peace and make peace as if there is no terrorism. I know of no other country, certainly no other democracy on the face of this earth, that since its establishment for so many decades has both extended its hand out to make peace with its neighbors on the one hand, and on the other hand, had to fend off constant acts of aggression and violence from those very same neighbors. There's only one such country, and that's Israel. And if the strength of a democracy is measured on based upon the challenges that it faces, then I could tell you it doesn't get much more challenging than in Israel's case. And it's a testament to our strong democracy, the fact that we managed to live up to that commitment that Rabin made for so long.
A Pittsburgh Post-Gazette reporter named Rich Lord was in Tel Aviv and reported that some Palestinians even are now thinking in terms of one country with two cultures in which the battles would move to the ballot box and the courts. Should, as some have suggested, the West Bank be annexed and its Palestinians made citizens?
Absolutely not. There is only one viable solution to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, and it's a two-state solution. At the end of the day, a state of Israel for the Jewish people and a state of Palestine, future state of Palestine for the Palestinian people. Now notice how easily that rolled off my tongue and how much sense it makes. I'm sure none of your viewers can question the logic behind that eventual solution. So why is it that only Israeli leaders and officials are able to say that sentence, and you will hear no single Palestinian leader say that this is indeed the solution of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict? They will say the latter part, a Palestinian state for the Palestinians, but you will not hear a single Palestinian leader acknowledge Israel's right to exist as a Jewish state and say a Jewish state for the Jewish people. And you wanna examine the root cause of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. That's where you'll find it: a reluctance of our neighbors to accept Israel's existence as a Jewish state under any set of borders.
The late Prime Minister we referred to earlier, Yitzhak Rabin, was negotiating toward a solution that would have given the Palestinians control of the bulk of the West Bank and perhaps eventual statehood. Could that have worked?
Well, it has given Palestinians control over the bulk of the West Bank. They are, in fact, the Palestinian Authority, have full civic and security control in the seven cities that they control, which comprise the vast majority of the Palestinian population in the West, Bank, seven metropolitan areas. I think it could work, and we could move forward with such a formula, but it really necessitates a sea change in the mindset and the culture of our Palestinian neighbors. See, if they won't accept us as a legitimate entity, if they see Israel as a conqueror, an invader, a colonial power, if they do not acknowledge Israel's, the Jews' historical right live in its ancestral homeland and create a state there, I fail to see how we can come to any type of compromise. They have to change that mindset and accept our right to be there. Then we will be able to talk.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and my guest is the Consul General of Israel to the Mid-Atlantic region, Yaron Seidman, who is in Pittsburgh, spoke last night at the Jewish Community Center in Squirrel Hill and is with us now in studio. Talk about the agenda that you have as you make your way around Pittsburgh. Who else have you been meeting and talking with?
Well, this is the anchor for this visit is really the community event that took place last night. It was critically essential for me to meet community leaders in the Jewish community. Israel is widely represented diplomatically in the United States. We have an embassy and nine consulates, and I see it as a prime responsibility of myself as a representative of Israel to the United States to engage with the Jewish community. And you know what? It's not in order to settle the Israeli-Palestinian conflict or to stop centrifuges from spinning in Iran. It's for the sake of our future as a Jewish people and the need to encourage dialogue between the two main centers of Jewish population in the world today, which are in Israel and in the United States.
And how would you say Pittsburgh's Jewish population compares with, I mean, certainly you've got a much larger population in New York, but with, you know, other parts of Pennsylvania, say Philadelphia, for example?
Well,
I'm asking this in terms of just how involved, how engaged Jewish citizens are in Pittsburgh as opposed to other American cities.
Again, without making a comparison to particular communities or cities, I could tell you that the Jewish community here in Pittsburgh is extremely engaged, involved, caring, and immersed in what's going on in Israel and the Middle East. And I'm not here just to lecture, to talk, to preach. I'm here to listen, engage in an equal, honest dialogue on an equal footing. And to me, it's very, very important to be able to do that and continue those important relationships.
And as if there weren't enough to talk about and things weren't interesting enough, there was the speech last week where Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said that the Holocaust, or at least he was quoted as saying that the Holocaust wasn't Hitler's idea, but rather that it came from Haj Amin al-Husseini, who met with Hitler in Germany in the 40s. As you make your travels to places like Pittsburgh, do you end up having to, I'm guessing there are a lot of people bringing this up to you and maybe asking you, why would he say a thing like that? Do you have to manage that situation, or how do you deal with that?
Well, you know, first of all, surprisingly, you're the first one who's asking me this question.
Really?
Yes, today. So apparently it's not as widely
an issue.
An issue. However, I will tell you, there is no single person more evil and responsible for the Holocaust than Adolf Hitler. There are anti-Semites everywhere. The Mufti Haji Amin al-Husseini in 1929, going back to what's going on today, propagated similar rumors about the Jews. Then there was no state of Israel. The Jews trying to destroy the Al-Aqsa Mosque. And he led, based on those false rumors he spread, to the massacre of the entire Jewish, or the vast majority of the Jewish community in the ancient city of Hebron. He was no lover of Jews and of Israel. He was an anti-Semite. And I think the point to understand is we live in a harsh reality and in a harsh neighborhood with neighbors who, by and large, many of them don't want us around. Having said that, we do have, Israel has two peace treaties with Egypt and with Jordan. And when you look at the turmoil that engulfs the Middle East today, when you look at the upheavals and the instability, you'd be hard-pressed to find more stable agreements that actually hold water than the peace treaties Israel enjoys with these two Arab states. To me, that is a shining light and a beacon of hope that we can continue establishing peaceful relations with the rest of our neighbors, and yes, also with our Palestinian neighbors.
Before I let you go, I would be remiss if I didn't bring up a question about the Iran nuclear agreement. We had a discussion about it on our program with members of the Jewish community here in Pittsburgh during the summer. And now that that is a done deal, we know how Mr. Netanyahu feels about this. What is the feeling among average Israeli citizens and members of the Jewish community here in the U.S. about this deal? Not everybody agrees with Mr. Netanyahu, regardless of who may be right or wrong. What do you think about this particular situation and how others are reacting to it?
I think, our opinions about the deal have not changed. However, it's been signed and it's moving forward. And we're, I hope that we're wrong, by the way, in our assessment that this will eventually pave the way for Iran to become a legitimate military nuclear state. All it has to do is just stick to the deal, and 10, 15 years from now, it can have as many centrifuges and capabilities at once. Having said that, we haven't changed our mind. We still think that's the case, but we have to deal with the reality of the day after. The deal has been signed. It's moving forward. And we are now in a different phase of engaging on how to address the theater of threats in the region with respect to Israel's capabilities, with respect to how we work with the United States in order to do so. And that's exactly what we're discussing these days. Israel's prime minister is going to be here on November 9th. I'm sure he's going to engage in in-depth discussions on that issue with President Obama. And we are moving forward.
Yaron Seidman is the Consul General of Israel to the Mid-Atlantic region. He has made a stop here in Pittsburgh and has a packed agenda. We appreciate your working us into your schedule and joining us on Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you so much, Bob. It's been a pleasure to be here.
More Essential Pittsburgh coming up with a look at the 60th anniversary of the release of Errol Garner's Concert by the Sea and how that's being observed on 90.5 WESA.